Hello, welcome back to the Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So if you listened to my previous episode, you could be listening to this in the future. It's currently the 4th of October. So yeah, if you're listening to this months down the line, I just got back from a fitness retreat, which was in Portugal. So I had gone for 5 days. I signed up for it March 2023. You could pay it off by the month. It was great. It was expensive. I'd say the whole thing was about €1,500, excluding flights. So, but basically, it was in the Algarve. It was in a town. It was actually the town where Madeleine McCann was abducted, would you believe? And it was called Lewes, Pray to Lewes. So, yeah, it was like £1,500 and it was within Titan Fitness. So that's like a fitness facility. They have one in Thailand too. And we stayed in a villa type of place next door to it. And there was a cafe next door to Titan Fitness. And they arrange basically this meal plan thing. So you get your breakfast and lunch included along with your accommodation and along with all your classes. So that's what the £1,500 is. I'm really sure it was £1,500. And then the flight separately. Excuse me. So yeah, it was near enough €2,000, but it was totally worth it. Totally worth it. I'd do it again tomorrow. I didn't know anyone going on it. So Sarah Carterson, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's on Instagram. She's Irish. She lives in Marbella. She's a coach as well. She does a lot of challenges like myself, but on a bigger scale. She's been around since, you know, pre-COVID kind of, and she had done one last year. And when I seen the clips of it, I was like, oh, I want to sign up for that. I didn't care if I didn't know anyone on it. I just wanted to go because it beats going away for a week with your mates and just getting pissed every day and waking up hungover every day. Like, that's just, you know, the older I get, I kind of realise that's not a holiday. But anyway, yeah, so I went and I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't know anyone going. And everyone else who was on it didn't really know each other either. Like, there was a couple who knew each other from training with Sarah. Like, they were clients of hers and they were obviously in a WhatsApp group as well. But, you know, for the majority of people, like, we didn't know each other. And I remember going to the airport and I had to meet like 4 girls who were on the same flight as me. We all had a big WhatsApp group. And yeah, like the amount of friends that I made, the amount of women who were there, you know, ranged from like early 20s to late 30s. And we just had the crack. Honestly, we were doing about 2 to 3 classes a day. Then we were going out for an evening meal and, you know, you were home in bed by about 10 o'clock, like, and you were up then at the crack of dawn for yoga at about 7. And then, you know, you'd be doing your like kind of like high intensity classes, then your strength and technique classes. It was so good. And the weather was absolutely amazing. We couldn't have been blessed with better weather. And, you know, I think it was about like 27 degrees most days, blue skies. It was, and it's a lovely area. It's actually a lovely area. And the food was so nice in the evening times, as well as the cafe as well for breakfast and lunch. But they were actually calorie macro friendly meals too. Like, not that I was watching what I was eating over there, because the food was just delicious regardless. But even in the evening, like, we tried a different cuisine every night. And, you know, Mexican, Indian, burgers. It was just, honestly, it was so good. I would love to go again next year. So like, if you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's something I'd love to do, but, you know, I don't have the confidence, like, the amount of girls who went there thinking the exact same thing. And, you know, everything's always worse in your mind when you get over there. Like, your human instinct is to just mix, it's to just talk to other people. We are social creatures, and if everyone else is in the same boat as you, I went over thinking maybe it might be a bit clicky. You know, it's, like I said, I think there was only one or two people who knew each other, and that was true online. You know, it was just, it was really, really good. It was like a girls' holiday, but even better without the alcohol. You know, like, on the last night, we kind of all went out into the town part, and we went out and had a bit of a bop. But it was absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I went and put myself in my comfort zone, and I'm so glad I did. I'm so depressed being home, because, you know, you're around like 17 women. 5 days straight, and my social battery runs out pretty quick, and I just wish I was back over there. I really do. But yeah, that's how I spent my last week. So I did upload my previous podcast, which was how to program your own program, how to design your own program, frequently asked questions that I get in my DMs a lot. And I'll probably do another one, because, you know, just listening back, I actually made it while I was in Portugal and there was a couple of things I may have missed. So I'll have to do another one, a part two. But yeah, I did upload it. I just didn't post it on my Instagram stories for whatever reason. But I'm here now And what's new? So I signed up to do a nutrition course. So I know a lot of people are like, but you're a PT. Is that not something you already know? I do know a lot about nutrition, and I'd say probably there's still a lot to learn as well. But in my PT course, they just train you how to train people properly, how to teach them technique, etc. You do learn a little bit about nutrition, you know, about calories, macros, calorie deficits, etc., energy in versus energy out. But this nutrition course, it's with Precision Nutrition, and you do it online and you do it in your own time, which is good as well. And they like send out books and stuff like that. And it's level one. So it just means that if I am qualified in some way, shape or form, I feel a lot more confident giving people advice. And, you know, especially like special populations, that's something that I will be trained to deal with as well in this course. And I do kind of refrain from training people in special populations, people with diabetes, other conditions, etc., because that's not something we were taught in my course, in my PT course. And it's not something I feel I can just look up on YouTube or read about and then feel comfortable telling like a client with diabetes, oh yeah, just don't do this or that, when I actually don't have the qualification to do that. So it's just another string to my bow, and you can progress again into level two and level three down the line. But once I have level one, I will feel a bit more confident, you know, advising people, etc., with their nutrition. And then I will just do nutrition coaching as well. Even if they don't want to go to the gym, well, I would always recommend exercising. But maybe they have their own gym program going on and they just want a bit of nutritional advice. So anyway, this episode, to cut through the clutter, I had a bit of a spiel there, went off on a bit of a tangent. So this episode is what to do if you have a weight loss plateau. So, excuse me. So what I would say is it actually a plateau? Have you been in a calorie deficit? Are you 100% tracking everything? So, you know, there's no point saying you're in a plateau when you've been robbing chips off your partner's plate. You've been having sneaky mini chocolate bars on the side thinking they don't count, or, you know, forgetting to track biscuits or whatever. Like all those things add up. Off-plan meals. Yes, I always say it's okay to have an off-plan meal. You know, if you're going out with your other half on the weekend and you kind of just guesstimate when you're tracking, like say you order chicken fajitas or whatever, like the high protein dish, and you go on to MyFitnessPal and you log in chicken fajitas and the name of the restaurant is in there, but you kind of like look at the list of chicken fajita dishes on MyFitnessPal and you see which, what is the most, what's the most common calorie number that keeps popping up? And, you know, that's the one I usually go for, and just make sure there's macros attached to it too. But you could track that, and, you know, the one that you're eating in the restaurant could be an extra 200 to 300 calories. And if you were to eat out twice to three times a week, like, you know, that could be an extra 1,000 calories that are unaccounted for. And you just think, oh, well, I guesstimated, I tracked it in my fitness pal. You don't know that the person behind the kitchen isn't throwing in more oil into that. You know, loads of little things like that. So that's why I recommend try, if you are in a fat loss phase, try to just have one meal out, because it does eliminate a margin of error. And if the scale is plateauing, it's very hard to pinpoint where it is or what's gone wrong. But if I did notice that you were having 2 to 3 meals out a week, I would say it's probably that. So that's why I would recommend only having one meal out. But yeah, so are you actually in a calorie deficit? Are you 100% tracking? If you are you weighing daily? Okay, so if you're only weighing yourself once a week, at least give it 3 weeks, not 3 days. At least give it 3 weeks eating the same amount of calories, you know, being 100% with your tracking. And if the scale still isn't budging, then, you know, maybe we can do something about that then. That will be a plateau. But are you weighing daily? So if you're only weighing once a week for 3 weeks, that's not enough data to qualify as a plateau, because it could just so happen that the days you weigh yourself, you know, there could be a spike in water weight. You had a lot of carbs the day before. Your muscles are inflamed from a workout the following week when you weigh yourself. Like, it could be every Wednesday. And, you know, it could be your time of the month on week 3. So you need to be weighing yourself every day to get enough data to gather, okay, my weight has barely budged in 3 weeks. There's a plateau here. It's averaging at the same number every week. So I wouldn't advise only weighing once a week. That doesn't qualify as plateau. Every day for 3 weeks. And if it hasn't budged, yes, we are at a plateau. And are you 100% tracking and you're in a calorie deficit? Okay, we have those two boxes ticked. Maybe you are in a plateau. So the fourth place I would start is you need to kind of look at your toolbox, okay? So you have your calories, your cardio, and your steps. Okay, that's like your little fat loss toolbox. All right, so you could, so let's say your calorie deficit is, I don't know, we'll just say 1500 for an even number. Okay, so you have to eat 1500 calories every day for 7 days to drop a pound of body fat. So your maintenance calories would be 2000 calories, because you take away 500 from your maintenance calories, you're left with 1500. And, you know, 500 by 7 is 3,500 calories, and that's a pound of fat, okay? So you could do it this way as well. You could literally just eat maintenance calories every day for a week and do, like, burn 500 calories in cardio every day. But that's not sustainable, and it's a pain in the hole. So that's why people opt for food, because people don't have the time to be doing that shit. Well, in saying that, I had to do 50 minutes of cardio for 7 days for nearly 3 months. So fat loss can be very time consuming if you have the time available. So what I would start with is look at your toolbox. Sorry, I don't know why my throat is so frog-like, but yeah, look at your toolbox. So what we would do is we would only use one at a time, okay? So if the scale hasn't budged in 3 weeks, let's start with calories, for instance, okay? Can you reduce your calories? Yes. So we'll keep our protein the same. And, you know, we can just eat maybe less carbs, less fat, but we still want to hit our protein target every day. So when you say 200 less calories, it doesn't mean that you eat less protein. Keep your protein the same. So say it's 140 grams of protein daily that you have to eat. So you would still hit that. That would be still part of your calories, except you might just have one slice of bread now instead of two, or, you know, one biscuit instead of two, little things like that. So you could maybe reduce your calories by 50 to 100 daily. All right, actually, you know what? I'm just going to say 50 calories. So that's 350 calories over the course of the week now you have reduced. All right, there's no point knocking off 500 calories a day if your calorie deficit is 1500. What are you going to eat? 1000 calories a day? And what if that's on like week 4 or week 5 of your deficit and you still have, you know, another 6 weeks to go? What happens if your weight plateaus again and you're currently on 1000 calories? What can you take from that? You wouldn't be able to sustain it. So always be smart. You don't need to be chopping off 500 calories a day. You could literally start small. 50 calories. That's 350 calories over the course of the week. That's still a lot. That's 10% of a pound. Okay. So reduce your calories and we'll weigh ourselves then for another 3 weeks every day. And make sure you are in a calorie deficit. Are you having meals off plan? Yes. Well, then that's not accurate. You're not in a plateau because you're not being accurate enough. Okay. You're not being accurate enough to qualify as a plateau because you're eating a lot of off-meal plans, off-plan meals, I should say, and we don't know if you are actually in a calorie deficit, so you can't say you're in a plateau, okay? So let's say you are being 100% with your tracking and you've tracked for 3 weeks and now, you know, after week one, week two, the scale is starting to drop. Okay, grand, we'll stick to those calories. So, all right, we've established what the issue is. But let's say you are already struggling to eat the calories that you're on. Well, then we'll keep our calories the same, our 1500 calories the same. OK, so we aren't eating 1450 anymore. We're still going to stick to 1500. And you have time available to increase cardio. So like I said earlier, you could literally eat at maintenance calories, 2000 calories and do like burn 500 calories on the Stairmaster a day for 7 days. That's the same thing. You're still in a calorie deficit, but you're using cardio instead of food. But that's not sustainable because people don't have the time to do that. And that's actually a pain in the hole. So what I would say is use one tool at a time. Like I said, at the calorie deficit, if reducing calories is too tough, we could maybe add an extra 5 minutes of cardio post gym session. So I would always start off small. Okay. Like I said, same with the calories. You don't need to be starting off on poverty calories. And the same with cardio. You don't need to be starting off on day dot on an hour of cardio. And you have like 12 to 16 weeks to go. What happens if your weight loss stalls? You don't want to take off any more calories. Your cardio is already at 60,000. Sorry, not 60,000, 60 minutes. And, you know, it's week 3, week 4, and you still have like another 10 weeks to go, 12 weeks to go. You could be doing 2 hours of cardio by the end of it. That's not sustainable. It's all about what we can sustain. So what I would say is maybe start off on week one at 15 minutes of cardio on a Stairmaster or, you know, an elliptical post-gym session. You would always do your cardio after your gym session if your goal is to build muscle and drop body fat. So let's say we start off at 15 minutes and you're doing 3 sessions a week. That's 150 calories roughly. All right, if you're doing low intensity, times that by 3, that's 450 calories. So you're still eating 1500 calories a day, But now at the end of the week, you're going to be down 450 calories, all right, just through cardio alone. It's also to keep you fit too. It's not just for burning calories. I noticed that big time while I was away that we were doing like this really, really steep hill walk, and obviously a lot of classes as well. But I actually surprised myself because I'm not really into those boot camp classes. They're just not for me. I'd rather just lift weights. But I was actually shitting going into them thinking I'm going to die here. And I was surprised at how fit I was from doing cardio daily. Now, that was part of my fat loss program. You don't have to do it daily. But what I'm saying is, if you increase it by like an extra 5 minutes a day post gym, so 15 minutes to 20 minutes, after 3 weeks of thinking that you're in a plateau, and, you know, like I said, that's, you know, 450 calories by the end of the week that you are having less of. So that could make a difference too. And let's say we kept our calories the same and, you know, increase our cardio and the scale started to move. There we go. We'll stick to that. You don't need to be adding on a half an hour post gym session straight away. Like, there's just no need for it. Why? Why would you be giving yourself extra work when you don't have to? When you could literally get the same results from just, you know, slightly increasing it by 5 minutes. And then let's say you don't have time to do cardio and you're like, yeah, I just don't have the time. I'm a very, very busy person. We could increase your steps. So an extra 500 to 1,000 steps a day. That's an extra 7,000 steps at the end of the week that you're doing. Okay, so it's not a lot. It's probably an extra it's probably an extra 10 minutes on top of your current steps, 10 to 15 minutes. And it's just, I suppose, less taxing on the body as well. So we aren't changing calories, we aren't increasing cardio, but we are increasing your steps. And I would only use one tool at a time. There's no point reducing calories, adding cardio and adding steps all at once. We only need to use one tool at a time, okay? Now, let's say you don't have time to do cardio, increase steps, and you're already struggling with your calorie deficit as it is. And you're like, I can't take away more food. I'm really, really struggling. You know, it's really, really tight at the moment. It's hit or miss whether I sustain this. Okay, let's take a diet break. All right. So what's a diet break? You go back up to maintenance for about 3 to 4 weeks. Now, this is literally, you know, like I said, we've established that you are officially in a plateau. And it's been 3 to 4 weeks. You don't have time to change cardio, increase steps, and, you know, you're already struggling with your calories. Let's take a diet break. Now, I know people are going to think, oh, well, you know, I want to lose body fat. I don't want to be stalling for 3 to 4 weeks. Well, then continue to just keep stalling, because this diet break, the purpose of it is to basically jumpstart your metabolism again. Because what can happen is, if you're in a calorie deficit for so long, and some people do this, okay, so you're saying, oh, the scale's plateauing, you could be in a calorie deficit for like 6 to 7 months and you're like, nothing's changing yet, because you keep stop starting. All right, have you actually been consistent, and are you actually in a calorie deficit? If yes, okay, and you're struggling with everything else, calories, cardio, steps, then let's take a diet break. So you go back up to maintenance. It doesn't mean you eat what you like for 3 to 4 weeks. All right, you're still tracking. You're just increasing food slightly, maybe an extra 300, 400 calories. Because what can happen is, if you're on a calorie deficit for so long, let's say it's week 14, 15, and you start to plateau, what can happen is metabolic adaptation. So your body starts to register your calorie deficit because you've been in it for so long as your maintenance calories. So that's why your weight is plateauing, because when you are at maintenance calories, you are maintaining your weight. That's why the scale would plateau, all right? Because you don't want to gain weight and you don't want to lose weight. You're eating the correct amount of calories to maintain your weight. That's what people usually do after they've achieved their goal weight, or, you know, they've finished their deficit. Let's maintain for a while until we figure out what our next goal is. But they're also, your maintenance calories can also be used as a diet break. And it just means increasing food. Your body knows that there's a shift in food now. Okay, she or he is taking in more food now. They're not in a calorie deficit anymore. And your body will start to recognize this. And it just means when you go back into a deficit, you're starting from a place where food has been really high rather than really low. So rather than just taking a few days off of a calorie deficit, you've given your body enough time to process a really high shift in food, 3 to 4 weeks. So from eating 1,500, you've gone up to, say, 19 to 2,000 for 4 weeks straight. Your body is now going back into a deficit with a lot more energy, in a better place, a better position to go into a diet. And there's been an increase in food. So there will be a shift. I always do this with my own coach. Like, I'm back into a surplus now. I'm actually waiting on my plan today from him to start my surplus. So he would always say this, that, you know, if we do, you know, 3 to 4 months at maintenance or in a surplus. A surplus is where you go, you know, 200 to 300 calories above maintenance. So, like, I'm using the 1500 calorie example as your deficit, 2000 as your maintenance. So 2300 to 2500 would be maintenance slash surplus. So he always says to me that, you know, we need fuel to grow muscle, so we need to be at maintenance or in a surplus. So we do that for 3 to 4 months. When you go back into a dieting phase, your body is in such a better position to diet, because you see a lot of people, they do calorie deficits for 3 to 4 months, go off the rails for 2 to 3 weeks, go back into a calorie deficit, and there's just, it's just so aimless. It's just, they just constantly want to be in a state of dieting, and that's not healthy. And the only way you can, you know, maintain a good metabolism is by taking breaks away from dieting. I'm talking like 3 months to 4 months, maybe even longer. Some people might take the whole year off, but they don't just go and eat what they like and, you know, put it all back on. It's in a controlled manner. So a diet break can be very beneficial if, you know, calories, cardio and steps are out of the question. And then when you go back into a deficit, you're in a much better position. And I actually noticed this myself. I went to Ibiza during my calorie deficit, and yeah, I was drinking alcohol and stuff, and I was probably having like 2 meals a day, a couple of snacks, etc. But, you know, I'd say a lot of the calories probably came from alcohol. But I noticed that the scale was starting to stall before I went away, and, you know, it wasn't moving at all for about 3 to 4 weeks. And I was like, what is going on here? And I think I was about 10 weeks, 11 weeks into my deficit. And I was thinking, maybe this is plateauing now. And I was being 100%. I mean, with all the added cardio and steps I was doing, there was no way I wasn't losing body fat. So when I went away and came back after about 2 weeks, like, the scale started to dramatically drop. So if anything, that holiday probably did me the world of good, because things started moving swiftly then once I came home, which was amazing to see. And, you know, I would have told my coach if I came home and things still weren't moving, look, it's plateauing, something's going on here. And always be honest with your coach. You know, they're not going to think, oh, she's not, he or she is not doing what I'm telling them. Sometimes it's not even the coach, it's not even you, it's just we use the calorie calculator. We're probably just, we got the correct calories, well, not the correct, but, you know, we're probably just using incorrect calories because your body has adapted to them from the last time you were in a deficit. So it just means we have to reduce them slightly, all right? So don't think, oh, but, you know, I'm eating the right food, and don't go off on your own and start chopping off calories and don't tell your coach. Because sometimes I have clients and they're just like, oh, the scale's not moving, will we drop calories? And I'm like, yeah, but you're having like 2 to 3 off plan meals, like in your check-in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Like, we can't reduce calories when you can't even stick to the ones I'm currently giving you. So remember that as well. So that kind of sums it up in terms of what we could do if the scale plateaus. But, like, I suppose the key messages you need to take away from this is, are you in a calorie deficit? Are you 100% tracking everything the last 3 weeks? Are you weighing daily? Are you having a lot of off-plan meals? So off-plan meals are just meals that you don't track. Like, some people do go out to restaurants, and like I said, they could order like chicken fajitas, and they'll just search in MyFitnessPal and pick the most common one that's popping up. But you could still be off by 300, 400 calories. You're not in the kitchen with the person. They could be throwing loads of oil in, sauces, cream, etc. And you're just guesstimating. And if you're doing that 2 to 3 times a week, like I said, you could have a large margin of error. And that's the reason that you're not seeing results and the scale is plateauing. So, you know, always keep those things in mind. Are you being 100%? Are you doing all the cardio that you're being prescribed? Are you doing your steps? If you are ticking all those boxes and you're weighing daily and it's been 3 weeks, then maybe you're at a plateau. And your coach will notice this as well. If you are being honest on your check-in sheets and giving honest feedback and you're putting in your weight daily, and they are even starting to notice that nothing's changing after 3 weeks, that's when they might implement a bit of change. And then obviously explain to them, I can't increase cardio at the moment. I'm really, really busy with work. I can maybe take away from food. And I would always offer that option to the client as well. Like, I don't just automatically say, okay, we're doing cardio. I will say to the client, look, how's your schedule at the moment? Would you have time for extra cardio? I would actually always prefer to increase cardio or steps and take it away from food, because it's much easier for people to sustain. But if they say, no, cardio is not an option, I'm really, really busy, okay, well, we'll take it away from food, then they're like, yeah, I'd actually rather that. So always consult with your coach. And again, if you're on your own, this podcast has probably helped as well, to kind of give you a bit of clarity, help you understand. But yeah, that's to wrap it up. Now, I will be away again next week. Ryanair season ticket holder. I'll be on a cruise. So I don't know whether I'm going to pre-record or do it while I'm away. But if I am away, I will probably be using my laptop, the mic on the laptop, but I would prefer to pre-record it, but I don't think I'm going to have time. But yeah, I will be uploading my podcast while I'm away again. That's it. I'm all holidayed out then for the year, and I'm ready to knuckle down now, be in a surplus and just increase my energy in the gym, because I noticed towards the end of my deficit, I was starting to suffer from diet fatigue. So that happens when you're just in a diet so long and you're just mentally done with it. You're like, I'm just fed up now. It's not even that you're hungry or anything. You're just like, I'm fed up of not having energy. Like, I was in the gym and, you know, I'd be using 2 7.5 kgs for a shoulder press towards the end of my deficit. And I used to be using 15s when I was maintaining, 2 15s. So 15 kg down from 30 kg. So I love being in a surplus. You can't diet forever. You can't. And in order to build muscle, you have to be in a surplus or maintain at some stage. Because otherwise, when you lose all that body fat, what's going to be underneath it? Nothing. So you have to spend periods at maintenance or in a surplus to grow that booty, your quads, your arms, you know, to get that toned look. Because if you're constantly dieting, you're never going to have the opportunity to grow muscle, because you can't really grow muscle in a deficit. Maybe some tissue, but nothing compared to when you're in maintenance or in a surplus. And I'm probably going to do that then until after Christmas. And I am starting a challenge as well. It's going to start on the 23rd of October, and it's going to be an 8-week challenge. It's going to bring it up to, I think, the 18th of December. So I wouldn't recommend anyone to diet the week of Christmas, because that's just bonkers. I don't know how people can do it, but it's just not sustainable. And especially if you're a first timer or you're not used to dieting, the Christmas period it can be a very difficult time to diet. So I always usually finish up about a week and a half before Christmas, and people can enjoy themselves then, but, you know, obviously not go off the rails and undo everything you've done. But 8 weeks, it's not going to be a life-changing body transformation, but it's the foundations that you're going to be forming to carry on after Christmas as well. So the January blues, the diet starts January. But you would be ahead of everyone else, because you would have started to pick up the habits and break old ones before everybody else. Everybody wants to do that in January and they bite off more than they can chew. They do the all or nothing approach, and, you know, they start living like a monk when they've never done that before, and they realise this is absolutely bonkers. I can't keep this up. So what we're doing is we're going to start it in October. So you are already kind of like, I suppose, primed then to go into the dieting phase in January if you wish to stay on. I know a lot of people probably will do that, because once January rolls around, I will be out the door. So yeah, it's a great opportunity if, you know, you want to shed a bit of body fat. You could lose up to 8 pounds if you really wanted to, and you put your head down. If we aimed for a pound a week, you'll get a gym program or a home workout program. You'll have a check-in with me weekly, and there'll be a WhatsApp group there with the other people in the challenge too, for help and advice, and just to push each other. So if you are interested in that, I will have a link up on my stories pretty soon, how to apply for it. And if you are interested, I'll send you the Google form link then once I post that I'm taking people on. But yeah, if you're interested in that, keep your eyes peeled, and until then, I'll see you in the next one.